Welcome to the Normal Blokes podcast. This is our second teaser. I'm Denise.
I'm Luke.
And I'm Jordan.
All right, boys. How are we all doing?
I'm good. Had some struggles.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's a good time. Well, this podcast, we're going to review the Beef and Wings Brawl held in Buffalo. We're going to be talking about some of the top 10 lists. We're also going to be talking about a few sneaky things we see come up in the meta. So Luke, how did everyone go at the Beef and Wings Brawl? What were the top 10 results?
So just looking on the results from BCP, the top 10 most common is Drakari. So Drakari obviously having a pretty strong prevalence in the meta at the moment. The other ones we see, which everyone knows and loves, the good old Inari, the fight again, kill something, fight again, shoot again. Everyone loves them. The other interesting ones, we got the Tyranids, Chaos Space Marines, like a Thousand Suns list, which is quite interesting.
Come to that a bit later, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, it's primarily seems to be the old Aldari shining strongest.
Yeah, because we got first place, who went 5-0 is Lewis Stolberg with pure Drakari.
Interesting though. How many people went 5-0 in this tournament? Was it
two? Just TJ two. Lanigan from Beast Coast with Chaos. He's got a wicked list. We'll talk about soon.
Sweet.
And then there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They Swissed it. Yeah, 6, 7, 8. There were 9 people that went 4-1. And then yeah, that rounds up the top 10.
Sweet. Well, we'll look at number one, shall we?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Because the good old Dark Eldar. I think they're shining strongest because I was talking to a few people today, and the thing we were talking about was basically command points are like your special resource that you acquire through list building to access sort of special and unique army rules. And because it's so hard to get these points, and it's so rare where you can use these little niche abilities, it becomes a lot stronger when you can actually have something that interacts with that. Like it's a lock. So your special abilities are locked by a command point wall, and then something like the Cabal of the Black Heart stratagem, Agents of Vec, can just completely stop that. So I was talking to Denise earlier. I've got to stop relying on Vect.
Well, I was talking to Jordan about this before. Like, we were listening to the Long War podcast, and CP is like your, like, paywall. They talked about that, Adrian.
Yep. Yeah, it was, yeah. It's interesting how sometimes the way you build a list around your command points, like, sometimes you're going to take units you don't really need, and you're going to waste that, you know, potentially 150, 200 points on things you don't need to access more
command points. Aquila.
Command point for armor.
You know, like, yeah. For example, you know, sometimes in my current list I'm building, I don't need as many scouts as I'm taking, but I need those cheap troops. Choices to access, more stratagems, so I can constantly do these stratagems over and over again. But, you know, with stuff like Drakari now getting around with this ability to remove your ability to do anything.
And it's such a powerful thing. Like, Vector's insane, but it looks like this list just takes the board. It's got Cabs and Venoms. It's got Dissy Ravages that are just pumping out shots. It's got the Archon with the Rid of the Living Muse giving that thing rerolls. And then on top of that, you got this big, beefy unit of Grotesques. Like, they're probably in one of the raiders just flying forward.
Yeah. Oh, they've done what I love in this list, the old Venoms. 3 Venoms, full of Cabalai Warriors and 1 Blaster.
Mate. Because are they...
And what do they got?
They got Skull?
What are they?
No, they're all Black Heart.
Yeah, because, well, see, the interesting thing, a lot of people miss this, Black Heart, things, so Dark Elder get a 6 up, feel no pain.
Yeah,
and it's for all the infantry. Yep, but for Cabal of Black Heart, things that don't have that in their profile automatically get it. That means all their vehicles actually get a 6 up, feel no pain.
That's very strong.
Yep, it's very, very frustrating when you've got certain weapons doing, multitudes of damage, and you've got something that can, it's that 1/6, you do 6 damage to a venom, and that 1/6 goes through. It's like that venom isn't dead, and you've now got venom getting around that hasn't got a diminished profile that can still do the same thing it was doing with 6 wounds.
Yeah, it's just a menace. Like me and you, Jordan, like to counter for this Drakari, like in this tournament, 4 out of the top 10 had Drakari elements, 3 of which were pure Drakari. Like that is ridiculous.
How
The
many were
amount,
they? They were all
like,
running Blackheart as well, weren't they?
oh, I can't remember. This guy
I'll
was
have a quick
obviously
look.
running Blackheart, yeah.
You keep going.
But yeah, like because of that, like I'm finding even in our local meta, we've got a couple excellent Drakari players. We've got an excellent Harlequins player. Well, 2 actually excellent Harlequins players. Like I'm taking different things in my Marine army to deal with that. Like I'm taking Riflemen, Venerable Dreads. I'm taking Stalkers. Like shit that I wouldn't use 6 months ago. 6 months ago, it's just Laz teams with the fucking Yunari banner.
That I think volume, volume that can deal with fly, like fly keyword as well. Because, fly is a, it's probably one of the strongest keyword. It is the
I think
strongest
fly,
keyword.
yeah, for
Yeah,
sure. Strongest keyword.
infantry and fly for sure.
Character is a strong keyword.
So just to clarify on before, 3 out of 4 of the Drakari have Blackheart.
Okay,
So I
cool.
think even like in list building, I think it's probably even worth just a patrol, bare minimum throw. Like if you run a two detachment, double battalion, and then a patrol Blackheart just to get the stratagem.
Like,
Trust this. You can
and the
take it.
most basic, yeah. Sorry, you go, John.
Talking about this around BrizCon time, and we're saying you can, you could walk in with a succubus and a cab, a unit of cabs, and you're like, that's not even 100 points.
Well, yeah, the common thing that some of the guys now are talking about is just an Archon with the Writ of the Living Muse and 3 Dissi Ravagers, and you're getting full rerolls of 1 for the Ravagers you'd take anyway.
That's the
For an
most
Archon
common.
you'd take anyway. Yeah, and then you just straight up get the Blackheart Cabal.
But the other thing is, you run him as your warlord, and that's
Yes,
the
and you get
best
the
command point farming that Eldar can get. And
Exactly,
Eldar
exactly.
have, I say this all the time, Eldar have the strongest stratagems in the game. And since the battalion
Yeah.
buff, and now this extra command point farming,
Oh.
they just got even stronger. Like, indirectly got even stronger.
My personal view on the battalion buff is it's too much.
It's probably too much. I agree.
I think 4 would be good.
But
You
it's
go, John.
fun. For a marine player, it isn't too much.
for Blood Angels, you
For
mean?
Blood Angel player.
In saying that as well, it's like you did say this some time ago, Luke. We had this discussion about you've gone and made the poor rich, and then, well, you've made the poor wealthier, but you've just made the rich richer. But it's not, you're seeing guard players, it's just endless amounts of CP, but they don't have access to some of the stratagems that.
And before they already had
Play,
endless amounts of
like
CP as
Eldar.
well.
Yeah.
They had that farm and they still got the farm, but they haven't got the stratagems to spend them on. And that's where now you're seeing stuff like you're seeing custodes.
Oh yeah, they needed it.
Custodes mixed with guard.
Yeah,
Custodes need that CP farm.
Imperium, like as an Imperium player, it's a good time because Imperium just got fucking strong. It
What
got
a time to be
really,
alive,
really
yep.
strong.
But if you look at the if you look at the Beef and Wings Brawl, it doesn't look like Imperium's doing too well. It looks like all the Xeno races are doing really well.
Yeah, definitely
Well,
the Eldari coming up high.
and Drakari, yeah, it's strong. It's really, really strong.
There's a couple of Yavrain. One of them's a Yavrain Reapers. The other one's a Yavrain Spears list that's doing all right. Both of them have triple wave serpent, which is quite strong. Oh, actually, I'll lie. The first one is 2 wave serpents. The second one is 3. I would really love to highlight the Astramilum Tarum list that went 4-1, who came in 5th place. He
This
had
is good.
oh man, he had Pask, a tank
Ooh.
commander, 2 units of 3 basilisks,
Oh, wow.
2 Punisher Russes, and 2 units of 3 Wyverns. So it was just backfield shooting, and I can see this fool just getting
He ran
turn one
full
and.
mech, yeah.
Yeah, getting turn one and just ending some
Wait,
armies.
how many
Like,
command points did he get?
Well,
it's like he's only got 1 detachment.
Wait, Spearhead.
Does he only have 4 CP?
Because because they have
What'd you say about Imperial Guard not needing stratagems, Jordan?
I would call this meta breaking guard. This is some off meta guard.
How simple would this list be to play? You wouldn't have to think any strats. Mate. You just go A shoot B.
Yeah, I reckon this guy would roll though 1,000 dice a turn. No joke.
It'd be a pain. Like,
yeah,
you see, it's obviously
a assault dice app. You can buy that from GW. Now we get a plug-in.
He's walking in with 4 CP, but he does have the Aquila and he does have the Master
of Trade. Oh, watch him get to 90. Well, that was Jordan. We went at that doubles tournament with Jacob, who played T-Sons. He had a spearhead that went from like 4 CP to like 9 CP.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Like speaking of T-Sons, bro. Oh my God. This is the new hotness. If you're a Chaos player, let's say number 2 in this tournament, number, who else? Number 9, number 10, number 13, 14, and 16 all had 1,000 Suns detachments. They're very similar. They were all either battalions or Supreme Command attachments with 2 or more 1,000 Suns psychers. 4 of them had Ahriman. And then a lot of them had, filled out with Exalted Sorks and Princes. So look, with the Smite changes, with the big FAQ, T-Suns and Grey Knights got off the hook a little bit.
Yep.
And T-Suns got it real good, simply because, Brotherhood of Sorcerers, it doesn't just affect their rubrics, bro. It affects, like, everyone. It affects their Sorks, their Princes, their, like, it affects Magnus, like, I watched a game the other day where one of our guys was playing, T-Sun's Sorks and Princess spam. He mortal wounded out Morty.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat. Like,
that's awesome.
That big dude, the other dude had turn one, threw Morty forward, and then he just owned him. Like, it's insane. Luke, do you want to talk about how this is nuts?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, 1,000 Suns is beginning to be... Like, I'm the old resident Eldar player.
Just straight off the bat, like, disclaimer, none of us play Chaos. So this is news to us.
as an Eldar player, living, the time of our lives. But anyway, the amount of psychic that Eldar rely on, like, they're a strong army, but their psychic is just the amplifier that no one can beat, really. Like... Strongest psychic powers in the game, hands down. But then, with all the psychic buffs that 1,000 Suns get and all their extra range to casting and whatnot, it's kind of like Eldar's weakness. So, like, at BrizzCon, for example, I managed to verse 2,000 Suns list, and just the whole time, I struggled to score points because I just couldn't get my powers off and my army was just a little bit lackluster. So I won the games, but I didn't score very high points because it took me a lot more to get through my opponent's army just because he was denying every psychic power I had. With their extra range and whatnot, they just smite things down. They don't care about neg to hit modifiers. They don't care about a lot of things that a lot of armies are building on.
Yeah, and like, Jordan, you can like chime in on this. Like, as a Marine player and you as a Blood Angels player, a 13 wound model, it sucks getting smited, eh?
Yep. Smite, I mean, some days you're sitting there and your opponent will roll ones all day, ones and twos, and they're not getting much D6 off, and they're not doing many water wounds, but there's those days, where they're just wound after wound after wound.
And Magnus pops 2D6 on your Storm Raven and it's GG. Like,
the
thing.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you go, Jordan.
Like Magnus, that the +2, you've got, the Brotherhood of Psychers, you can spend CP, give Magnus another +2. Like, that just, like, you look at the Kalexus can be a pain in the backside on its own, giving the, taking away from your rolls. But, like, it's frustrating when Magnus is denying with +2. Like, it makes Eldar's job really, really hard. And, we had the increase with Eldar as well. Eldar had to pay, you guys had to pay more for your powers. Not only that, they were harder to cast.
Yeah. So, like Soulburst, for example, like it's an 8, which is not too bad on your brain, but the second you get neg to cast in there, it sucks.
And everyone thinks, yeah, that Soul Burst being 8, everyone thinks, you know, yep, if rain needed that, if rain, but you've just inadvertently nerfed a 340-point
You've just
model,
crushed the
the
incarnate, and
Incarn,
you've crushed, yeah. It's
who,
psycho.
yeah, he, she can, he, she, whatever, can, I don't think anybody.
I think she has boobs, for it's a she.
Oh yeah, she does too. Yeah, she, sorry. I haven't looked at them all that long because she got nerfed into the ground,
Because
but
you didn't paint it, did you? You'll never
and
play
I didn't paint
it
her. That's fair. Also, yeah, so I didn't paint her. Check out Banshee painting, great painter.
Anyway.
No, but yeah, she inadvertently got worse because she's not casting a Warp Charge 8 power. It's like, you know,
Yeah,
hard to
like
do.
the chance of the Incarn getting that off and not getting denied is not good.
But the other thing, bringing back to Thousand Suns, because just staying on the topic of Thousand Suns, Magnus also within 9 inches lets them all reroll ones to cast. So when, rerolling a one on a psychic test is your get out of jail free card for sure.
It just means you're not going to peril. That's pretty much what it means.
But it's so big because when you roll 2d6 and you roll a 1, you're not getting the power off. But because you get to re-roll it, like it saves a CP and it just, it's so big on a psyche power. It's much bigger on a
But
psyche power.
is
And
that for
also,
deny? Is that for deny as well?
I think
I
it's for
think it is.
all,
I'm not
actually.
100% sure.
I think it's for all psychic tests, I believe. So maybe not denies.
It's a free
One
command.
of the
I know,
strongest
right?
things. One of the strongest things these guys have going for them is one of the big pushes of chaos. Let's look at the cultist, right? The amount of utter shenanigans you can do with that unit is insane. You can push it forward, you can get it buffed up with Fabius, you can get it immune to morale with Abaddon, you can tie to traitors, you can warp time, you can veterans, you can prescience, you can do crazy stuff with cultists.
Awful agonies, warp time.
Oh, mate, delightful agonies on cultists. They are hard to kill. I lost
Oh
to Alpha
yeah.
Legion yesterday. That would just neg one to hit delightful agonies. It was a mess. Wrapping Vendread for days. But this, yeah, that is the perfect screen to screen 5 to 7 psykers that are doing 2 spells a turn. Let's mention the demon princes that are melee monsters now cast 2 powers.
Oh
Like
yeah.
in Tzeentch,
And a
in
4-up invo as well,
Oh
right?
yeah, Tzeentch, T-Suns, and yeah, the better invo, exactly. And
Better.
it's out of control. And they're all getting shielded from this big blob. And even though Poxwalker farm is not a thing anymore, the cultists are still excellent.
Really good unit.
Yeah,
Great
and
unit.
while all that's going on, you've got, tighter traders on the other side of the map just hitting a flank.
Or Cabal or Blackheart, you know.
Or just getting vectored.
Funnily
Getting
enough,
back.
it's if you use Tide of Traders and it gets vectored, you that's it. You can't do it again.
Oh yeah, that's done. But
Just as a
when
side
you've
note,
got
how good is that?
what's 40 cultists when you have 160 running on the board,
Yeah. Oh wow.
but
Vect, man.
let's yeah.
Vect.
So I think T-Sons is very strong now. It's a shame that Grey Knights didn't get the same treatment, and there's nothing real. Nemesis Dreadknight spam is kind of a thing, but it's not massive.
They need that buff.
But
They need a buff like that.
Yeah, it's
It makes sense that they get that because they copped a pretty heavy nerf. They didn't get anything amazing in their codex. They got Nemesis Dreadknights, the Grandmaster Knights. It's pretty handy, but it's still significant enough. They just didn't any really amazing strats. They're already a very elite army. They're kind of like Custodes, but Custodes had some
It's like
awesome
have the
Custodes without the
durability.
def yeah without the defensiveness and durability, and without the balls to the wall stratagems. I played Custodes in an event and I burned 9 CP in a turn. It was nuts.
That's
Grey
a wild
Knights
army.
and yeah exactly the amplification you can do with Custodes, +1 to wound, rerolling to wound, fight again when you die, fight on an objective for 1 CP. It's psycho. So Grey Knights just don't have that. And Marines don't have good strats. Grey Knights have potentially worse strats. So it's really hard.
Yeah, and that just comes down to, I think, where the hobby's at the moment. It's progressively, you can see from the first codex to where we're at now, you know, it's just getting better and better and better. Like everything's changing, and
I think, I think Grey Knights, similar to Codex Marines, you know, they have their spot in an Imperium army, backed up by things like the battery, the CP battery, backed up by things like either Custodes or Blood Angels as a punch. But they won't be like pure Grey Knights is going to struggle, just like pure Marines. Yeah. Sorry, Jordan, you go.
No, I was just saying, yeah, I completely agree. It's
bit,
where you know, Eldar can get away at the moment, with just being pure Eldar, like Eldari, it's really, really strong. We can't, you know, we can't access that with Marines. You're having to mix it up with a few other things, and it's the same with I guess Chaos now. And Chaos can do that too. You know, you can walk around with your cultists, and like you said, Abaddon, you can have that fearless. You can have those fearless cultists, and then you've got command attachment of sorcerers from T-Sun sitting behind, just smiting the hell out of the whole table. You know,
yeah,
maybe, you know, have like three sorcerers, have Ahriman, have Magnus screened by all these. You know, it's dangerous. It's really damaging, and it's gonna be hard for the current Knight Codex to deal with as well. Because
coming back to that, man, like, Magnus is like a double-edged sword right now, because if you come up against a knight player and you get the big smite off and you charge that knight, it's a mess. Like, if you charge that Castellan knight in the backfield with a warp time Magnus, that's game. Magnus has just made his points back for once in his life, and yeah, it's done.
He's but still on top on of that, twos and no embalm, right?
Yeah, no invo. You just go straight through it. So, like, after the smite.
Twos,
yeah.
Rerolling ones and twos, and then that's three damage.
Yeah, and good luck killing Magnus when he's got his invo up.
Yeah.
When that knight's dead, like when that knight's dead and Magnus has invo up, good luck killing him. But on the other end, you've got things like Drakari Poison, and you've got things like the Deathwatch Veteran Bomb that will straight up kill Magnus. Like, no word of a doubt, will murder Magnus. Like, the Deathwatch Bomb, twos rerolling ones to hit, threes rerolling ones to hit, or three rerolling everything to hit, twos rerolling ones to wound on Magnus, like, you'll straight up just take him off the table.
Are they one damage?
Yeah, Storm Bolters.
Not true.
It's 20. Well, it's 40. It's 40 Storm Bolters with a master. Like, you're rerolling
37 hits, pretty much 35 saves. Like, Maggie Noodles is going to fail about 50. Oh, what's that? What's a third of that? Like, 12? That's a good chunk of him dead.
That's a big hit.
Like, stuff like that. And that's like
three up in ball. Is there any neg on those?
That's a Death Watch Patrol. That's like 350 points, and that's a 3 CP play. That's
what's the AP on those guns?
Well, you don't need AP, bro. It's no AP.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I mean,
it's just
like, 30, if he had
35 3 up saves.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, yeah. But if they were like neg one and he didn't have his 3 up in ball,
he's dead, yeah.
Dead.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Hellfire shells. See, that's the thing. Like, everyone was talking about Death Watch, you know, moving. It was going to be it was potentially going to be a codex that would start making top table. But you look at this beef and wings, and it's
just a soup. Like, you take that Death Watch patrol with the master and the blob, and that's it. And you have your battery back, you have your guard battery, you spend 3 CP for the deep strike, and then you just kill one thing and you're done. Like, that's what Death Watch is right now.
That play
is still like 350 points, you know. So it's like, even if you kill Magnus, it's just making his points back. So
it's hard to justify. You're talking about 10 Marines with one wound each. They get moved pretty quickly. Very easy to kill.
Exactly. You shoot some lasguns or bolters at it, and it dies.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it's there's some. But like you said, there is some good play with that. Like, you can do, imagine 40 bolters on cultists. Like, you're literally going to move 40 cultists off the table. That's nice. There's lots of
it's
obviously it's not making its points back, but that's potentially screening. You know, those characters, those T-Sun characters we're talking about. Like, there's so much. There's so many other things you can do with something like that as well.
Yeah, because something I've been looking at with Imperium is trying to find something similar to the, Luke, you love this, the Sean Naden Guardian Bomb.
Oh, yeah. Like, since everyone has
included
a Guardian Bomb.
It is well and truly fucked. Like, the real to hit, real to win, hitting on twos. six as an egg three. Like
Yeah.
when you remove that Bane Blade, that freaking CanCon,
Yeah.
that was hilarious.
Oh,
So
it's
like
a great
things like
feeling. 160 points removing about 500 points, and you're like,
that.
ooh,
It's frustrating.
So like Death Watch is close. Just something to blow a screen, because yeah, as with Marines, it's hard to have a 13-point body versus a 4-point body on the other side of the table. So blowing a screen is interesting. I've been looking at scout bikes. I've had some fun with the Storm Talon, but it just doesn't have the volume of fire to do it.
The thing is with Marines as well, like you pay 13 point for a body, right? But your basic gun for, the saviors of humanity or whatever, is strength 4, AP 0, 1 damage. Like a Guardian's rifle is better. Pretty much any race's
A
anything,
Necron's gun is better,
yeah,
yeah.
is better. And they're paying less points for,
Like a Tau Fire Warrior is what, 8 points, and it has a 30-inch range strength 5 gun at 0 AP, but with for
How
a little
far away?
bonus.
7 points. They got changed.
Oh, dude, and like for a little bonus, you get -1 AP on them and stuff. Like
Like the,
you can
I just
easily get
think
+2 to wound. Like it's
TAC
fine.
Marines, they're not that good. They're not good at all.
Oh,
Is
look,
funny.
scouts for days, man.
That being said, looking like talking about Marines and their efficiency, like from this, what was it, 67 man tournament, the highest solo Marines player, what was he, 30, 36th?
So, okay, let's break this down. The highest ranked person playing a power armored marine body was out of 67, was ranked 36, and he ran an Astra Militarum battalion. He ran three Custodes Shield Captains, and he ran a Dark Angel's Spearhead as his major detachment.
Yeah,
So,
and
straight.
his list is good
And
because he's got little pictures of what they look like as
oh
well.
no, it's a cool list. I'll give him points for that. But no, the highest ranking Codex Space Marines list out of 67. Guess how low it was, Luke.
Well, it was halfway,
Jordan?
was it? 36?
Jordan? Guess how low it was.
Were you saying pure Marines? We're not
Yeah.
talking,
Yeah.
I'm gonna say, sadly, in the 50s.
Mate, there were two, and the highest ranking one out of 67 was 57, and it was a Gilliman Gunboy.
Oh, Robbie
That
G.
hurts.
Robbie
Bobby
G and the Smurfs
G.
didn't show up today, did they?
No.
Bobby G missed his lunch break and got
Oh,
wrecked.
God.
Oh, man, it's a hard life. But I don't know. I think Marines have answers. It's just hard. The body is too expensive. Looking at things like, so looking at the codexes that just came out, yeah, we had Drukhari, we had Death Watch, we had Harleys, and we had Knights. If you look at the strats that came out for all of them, they're all excellent, and Death Watch just didn't get any attention. They're not winning. Drukhari, yeah, off the chain because it's cheap, it's a lot of wounds, it's board control, amazing stratagems, gives Eldar the CP battery, all that stuff. And then Knights, Harlequins have some play because Harlequins are just a suicide bomb. Knights, we'll see how it goes, but I'm feeling Knights won't be as tough with this current situation.
Interesting.
There is some there's some really strong counters out there at the moment for knights.
Like that 594-point Flamer Knight with the relic and a 4-up invo's all well and good until you get surrounded by Ahriman and his friends and just get wrecked. And that knight can only it can only flame one character and punch one character a turn, realistically, and then you just get smited again.
There's lots of, but there's, I believe the biggest weakness right now for knights is, it's pretty obvious, is close combat. It's
Oh yeah.
the assault phase. It hurts them so bad. They've
Oh
got
really?
no defense to it. They've got Overwatch, but they're a big model. There are a lot of points. The more points you put into your knights, the less you got for screens and charge. And it's like that Valiant Knight, really, really good, but super short range. So it's going to get charged.
Yeah,
True.
and like they've got the stratagem that allows you to fight, with its 6-inch vertical, so you can fight top level ruins or whatever. But there are so many other good stratagems in that book that you're not spending your CP on that. If you're running the five gallant, the mythical five gallant list that everyone's talking about, that no one's actually going to put on the table because no one either has 5 gallons or no one wants to actually play a pure close combat army. If you're spending a CP on that, like, where's your move in advance? Where's your, you know, 3 warlords with warlord traits? Like, you don't have CP for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the 3-up invo knight.
Yeah, the 3-up invo knight. Like, on a Dominus, that costs 3 CP just for one phase to be 3-up invo. That's a lot of CP.
Strong, strong stratagem, though.
Yeah. I think it works better on a Questorus, like just a basic Crusader. Have a 3-up invo for like 1 or 2 CP, I think. The three on the Dominus is a big trade.
But, 3 on Dominus is hard, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, stuff like that, it's going to be good. Like, you come up with 3 knights against like old Johnny's like Astra Militarum army that's got like 3 Lehman Rosses and like 50 guardsmen. It's half a season, but you know, like, other than that, you play an actual player that knows what he's doing and he'll kite your 3 knights all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the results of this GT is a good snapshot of what's to come. We got wolves and orcs coming out, so we'll see how that goes.
That's what I want to touch on. So there's I see one orcs list in here.
See,
placed 33.
You tell me, this is hilarious. Yeah.
So I've been trying to dabble in a bit of the orcs myself. Now he's got an orc battalion with 3 weird boys and 3 squads of 30. Boys, 2 shooter boys and 1 group of slugger boys. So the shooters are the assault 2, 18-inch range. Yeah, gun, yeah. Then he's got an orcs outrider with 2 squads of 25 storm boys and a war buggy. And then he's got a biker boss with head whoppers, kill chopper, the new relic. And then he's got a spearhead, which is big mech, big track, and custom mega cannons with the grot crews. He came 33rd, but this list seems semi-competitive. The only thing I was thinking, how are these orcs gonna come up against the big knights lists or these thousand suns lists, because they're not gonna be able to keep up with like A, the Overwatch, or B, the weight of fire.
I think orcs need 2 things. The first thing they need is some form, like some solid form of shooting.
Yeah.
The second thing is a way to ignore Overwatch, like a grenade or
yes,
something.
Yes, they need that for sure.
Have I told you about the shenanigans you can do with the grots that arm the cannons?
Nope.
Yeah.
So it was on Cali Death Watch a couple of weeks ago. The grots that arm the cannon have the old character rule in that you can only shoot at them if they're the closest model. So let's say you come across an army that you don't need your guns, or your guns die. You advance those boys up the field, and let's say you have 7 crewmen, right, or 7 pairs of crewmen or whatever, because marines are in pairs. I'm not sure how many grots to a gun. But let's say they're all in front of you. Your entire army can only shoot 1 unit at a time because they've got the old character rule that says you can only shoot this model if it's the closest visible model.
All right.
So you can, like, mate, if you have 30 boys in front of all these gunners and they're all on objectives, that's game. That is 100% game. Because if you've got boys in your line, or if you've got someone, they're jumping forward every turn with a whole squad of boys and these guys are sitting on objectives, that orc player is winning all his games.
True.
And so, when you say that, you look at Jeff Beeman. This is the orc player that we're just currently talking about. You look at his scores as well. They weren't terrible. Like, he didn't. The lowest he scored on his loss was 22. That's a good score. Like, that's not a bad score. His other 2 losses were 26 and 24.
I would actually not be surprised if those grok guns did not fire a single shot all game, and he just advanced up the table.
It's 50. Well, he had 50 grots.
So, 50 grots.
Hard to paint 50 grots.
Get out of town.
He did have 50 grots, yeah.
List that you're currently talking about, though, that was at the London GT.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that was. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Sorry, it wasn't London GT. It was the event before London GT. They had a
was the Warhammer Fest something. Was it that one? No, someone ran at another event, but the one that was at the Warhammer World or Warhammer Fest thing got ridiculed because it was apparently slow playing some fools.
Yeah, that. Yeah, his scores were very low. I think he was getting like turn two most of his games.
Yeah, well,
he's got to move 100 models. Though. That's it's pretty hard to do.
Mate, bring a ruler and push them all.
Yeah, I put them on the little bases and just be like, "Here we go," like the old what is it? Warhammer Fantasy square
thing. Movement trace. The movement trace.
Templates aren't a thing anymore. It's all good.
Yeah, it's like we're playing Rome Total War One.
Oh, I do remember playing it. I went to a tournament when 8th edition first dropped, and it was in October, so it's probably a couple of months after it dropped. Actually, it wasn't. It was about a month. It was in Winter Warfest in 2017, and it was everyone obviously was walking in with Index, and I played Nork player, and he was doing the jump and stuff like that, and some of the orc shenanigans I could do back then was just phenomenal. It was like, it was really, really cool. But he was a very funny player. He had lots of boys, and instead of caring where they moved, he just literally would put something behind them and push them forward. And he'd just be like, "Are you cool for them to just be here?" And I'd measure it and go, "Yeah, that looks about 6 inches." And then I'd roll some dice, kill a couple of them, and he'd just pick up a handful and go, "Yeah, they look like they're dead."
It sounds like the funnest game.
The game was the best game I ever had. I got tabled in turn six, and it was really, really good. It was actually a really close game, but he had a lot of stuff left on the table, but it was a fantastic opponent. But the shame is I never seen him again. I haven't seen him around the scene, which is a real shame. But
one of our guys is
I'm hoping he's at this Winter Warfest that we attend, and now I think
man, that's gonna be a fun event. I think I haven't actually played, you know, psycho competitive orcs in 8th. I've played a few orc players and unfortunately punched out a Gorkonaut with Breath Ashmantle and killed 4 killer cans in Overwatch. That I'd apologize profusely after that. It was that was one turn, and it was a 1250 tournament, and I think I killed like 700 points of models with one dude.
so bad.
But, yeah, poor fella. But yeah, there's definitely some potential with those guys. I know there's a lot of stuff going around, you know, in the first kind of 4 months of 8th, orcs were the highest ranking Xenos army in a lot of ITC events.
But it's because of the low number of players, that's all.
Mate, that's because the Eldar Codex hadn't come out yet.
That's true too.
But I mean, yeah, there's still a good answer. Like, orcs will mince these cultists and nids hordes that are coming out. Like, they'll just cut through them, and the second they get stratagems, man, it's gonna be crazy.
It's I think the orc codex is gonna be a real handful. we're talking, you've seen obviously the content that we're getting from all these current codexes at the moment, and they're fantastic. So it's like you can only imagine what you're going to get in this Orc Codex. And the way Games Workshop's heading at the moment, they're actually starting to listen to their, you know, their fans, the people that are playing their game.
Yeah.
And how many Orc players are out there? Like, it's just an endless amount. There's always that one guy at a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, that's just screaming wild at the top of his lungs.
Yeah. And everyone wants to play him. They're like, give me the
Orc player. Every dude's like, oh man, can I just drop my next two games to get down to that bracket to play that Orc player?
I want to play that guy.
But like, yeah, what a time to be playing 40k. Like, it's so good.
I know. Very lucky. It's best edition I've been playing for a very long time. This is by far the best edition.
Agreed. All right, well, I guess to wrap up, I mean, we talked pretty extensively about what's going on. What are we all doing this week in Hammers?
Hoping to get maybe a couple more games in at the house myself this weekend. So, friends, lose some games, win some games, and just get some prep in for Winter Warfest, which is in about 4 weeks. So,
yeah, nice.
Oh, yes, prepping for the Winter Warfest. I'm currently on the fence as to whether I want to bring orcs just for a bit of a meme, see how that goes.
That's one top tier player I won't have to play.
I never know, you might have to figure out how to verse orcs. All those auto cannons, how are they going to deal
I'll bring a couple of scout squads then.
with orcs? Yeah, so I got to do that. I got to do a bit of hobby. But yeah, mainly fixing up my shining spears and polishing off a few orcs maybe.
Nice.
What about
Well,
yourself,
I've
Kay?
got. I was up till 3 a.m. the other night because I have a total of 7 potential lists for Winter Warfest,
Yep.
and by
My battle
golly,
scribe is full of
fellows,
lists.
by golly, it is hard to fit a lot of tools in 1500 points.
Yep.
But it's a good format. It is a good format. It's like it's like my Salamander's Gunline, Custode Bikes, Blood Angels, or Astronautarum. Pick any two because I can only fit two. But no, seeing what I can do with different lists, last probably 5 or 6 games of 40k I played, I've played a different list each time. So I'm just trying new things. I've also got, lo and behold, a Derudeo Dreadnought that arrived the other day from Forge World China. So
Which Forge World?
we'll, Ryza, I said Ryza. You heard that right,
Yeah,
didn't you?
that's the right one.
Yeah,
Yep,
yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
yeah. So I've got to build that with some super glue. Some heavy duty super glue and a gas mask. So we'll get that sorted. And yeah, I think the next episode we'll have our fourth member, Linford, on, and we'll get the show cranking.
Sounds good.
So yeah, I think we might call it a night, gents.
That sounds good. I think it is 12:15 a.m. So I think it might be time to
I've got to
depart.
wake up in 6 hours, you fools.
Back to work. But yeah, I think that's it. Do you want to sign us out, Denise?
Jordan,
Or
all yours,
Jordan?
bro.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, peace out.
See you next
Catch you
time on
later.
the Normal Blokes podcast.
Yeah.